Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready to get blitzed on the Blitz podcast at thehuddle.com with your hosts Steve Gallo and Harley Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to another episode, episode 202 of the Blitz Podcast. I'm Steve Gallo, joined as always by Harley Schultz. Harley, it's getting nippy in the air, freezing temperatures in the morning. No possible snow here yet, but it's football season through and through now. And we're on the second side of the schedule at this point.
Yes, and this is when we start to look at those weather reports every given week because there's always a chance that something could happen. Obviously, tonight's game, again, we're recording on Monday night. Tonight's game is in Buffalo. They aren't expecting any snow, but certainly it's going to be cold there. And I think that you almost have to start worrying, typically right around the Thanksgiving sessions, that there may be snow at some of these outdoor stadiums. So there's always a chance that weather could come into play.
And more than snow, wind is what seems to wreak havoc. And it does sound like there's a chance of it being pretty windy tonight to the point of, let's see what it looks like. Let's see, gust upwards of, no, that's not too bad, 12, 13 miles an hour. That's not too bad. They were overblowing that on one of the shows I saw. In any event, week 11, man, we're into week 11. And we're in November 11. And we're going to do a few different things tonight. We're going to give our top 12 rest of season rankings for running backs and wide receivers. You said before we started recording, and when I pointed out, we're not going to do quarterbacks or tight ends, and we can't do that next week because next week we have an extra helping of DFS. And you said, well, there's barely 12 tight ends or quarterbacks to really worry about. And I said, you're right. And if you don't know who they are, then you got bigger problems that we can help you with.
Now, well, it's interesting you mentioned the winds in Buffalo. Fortunately, our broadcast team for the game tonight is looks like Buck and Aikman. So we don't have to worry about either of their hairs being blown around.
I don't watch Buck and Aikman anymore. I actually watch the Mannings. I like Manning Cast. I'm upset when it's not on.
I think the Manning Cast will be on today. Like I said, it's Lindsey Vonn and Patrick Mahomes tonight.
That's it? I thought they usually have like three. See, it shows how much I pay attention though, right? Maybe it is only two. All I know is last week when Eli put Peyton's head on the board, I about died. The 3 foot size of his head, his forehead looked like it was about 2.5 foot. That was messed up, man. Messed up. But you know what's not messed up? You're supposed to say, what's not messed up, Steve?
What's not messed up, Steve?
What's not messed up is when I throw it over to Harley for this week's Blitzed Podcast News.
Thank you, Steve. After being arrested over the weekend for throwing a brick at a construction worker who had parked near his home, Michael Thomas left Sunday's game against Minnesota with what is being called a significant but not season-ending knee injury. Non-season-ending injury for Thomas. Where have we heard that whopper before? Yeah, you can just go ahead and drop him now because we won't see him again until well into next season. Oh, yeah, and consider this karma on him for being a jerk. Taylor Heinicke left this weekend's game with a minor hamstring injury. Prior to his injury, he was doing a great job of getting Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, and Drake London involved on the offense. Of course, after the game, Arthur Smith refused to name a starter until after their Week 11 bye. One can only wonder if Smith wasn't happy that Heinicke was attempting to get his top weapons the ball. Matthew Stafford is expected to return as the Rams starter this week. As a safety net during their bye week, the team signed Carson Wentz to a contract. Considering some of the starters we've seen the last 3 weeks, there was no excuse for Wentz to be a free agent. What does this say for the state of the league's coaches and general managers when they actually think that Brett Rippon, Clayton Tune, Tyson Bagent, Desmond Ridder, Jaren Hall, Tommy DeVito, Zach Wilson, Jordan Love, and Mac Jones all give their teams a better chance to win than Wentz? I think the league should place all of these coaches and GMs in the concussion protocol to get their heads checked. Speaking of concussions, Derek Carr has been placed in the concussion protocol. He left Sunday's game versus Minnesota with both a concussion and an AC sprain of his shoulder. Carr does get a bye week to get healthy, but if he is not ready for week 12, Jameis Winston will be throwing the interceptions for the Saints. And finally, Aaron Rodgers implied that he would be ready to return in just a few weeks. For New York fans, it won't come soon enough, as frankly, Rodgers on one good Achilles is better than any other home quarterback that has played at MetLife Stadium this season. This has been your BPN News Update.
Yeah, they're just trying to make it so it doesn't matter if he comes back or not. They're, man, I still sit here and go, how did they beat the Eagles? To think that's their only loss of the year. Man, the defense, man, they've got a good defense. But, yeah. Oh, a couple of zingers in there by you, like always, though. Carson Wentz, I like to call him of late, though, instead of Wentz. Even when he throws the ball, you got to wince a little bit. But, yeah, it is kind of interesting. But, you know, half can't wonder that, you know, how much of it is dollar-driven. How much does Carson cost versus Clayton Tune? Danny, I live with my mommy, DeVito. We should talk about that. Should we talk about that?
Has there been a more embarrassing quarterback since maybe Nathan Peterman? I can't think of one. Oh, maybe the Denver Broncos when they had to use like their practice squad wide receiver at quarterback that one game.
Yeah, I mean,
during COVID,
you heard what he said, right?
Yeah.
And I'll probably paraphrase it, but he basically said, I live with my mom. She makes my bed. She takes care of me. I mean, how old is he? Got to be at least 22, right? 23?
I'm going to hope, yeah.
He probably is making good coin, even if it's not like mega coin, right? To have his own place, even if he lived in New Jersey instead of New York. I mean, and even if you did that, why admit it in public?
And why? I mean, he makes it sound like he's proud of it.
I mean, his dad must be so mad at him. I can't imagine how mad Danny DeVito must be.
I love that you call him Danny DeVito. I think that Danny DeVito would be a better quarterback than him.
You know what? It might be true. It might be true. And look, you know how much I dislike the quarterback position when it comes to fantasy. But I will say this. The quarterback does matter in a sense of what it does for the rest of the skill players. And that may factor into some rankings that we may be going over here shortly. I don't know. Just maybe. But like I said earlier, we are going to go over our top 12 at running back and wide receiver rest of season rankings. And then we'll get into our normal DFS segment. Anything you want to chime on about before we get started?
Well, I just want to say, after having a couple of horrible, horrible weeks in terms of player pool to choose from at the quarterback position, DFS, at least we've got a decent quarterback pool to choose from this week. It's scary when the fifth highest priced guy is C.J. Stroud.
True.
But, I mean, C.J. Stroud has thrown for nearly 900 yards in his last two games. So
His MVP odds actually went from 100-1 to 25-1 after this week's game, believe it or not.
let's discuss this briefly. The whole concept of MVP.
Yes.
MVP is the most valuable player.
Yes.
Now, is that the most valuable player in terms of how they produce for the league, or the player most valuable to their team? Because if you think about it, where would Houston be without C.J. Stroud this year? I mean, what if they got Bryce Young? Would Bryce Young be making all those wide receiver, those mediocre wide receivers into studs?
Well,
no, I don't think so.
Well, where would the Chiefs be without Pat Mahomes, or the Eagles without Jalen Hurts?
Exactly.
I mean, it'll, in my mind, they actually probably need to add or change an award, because at this point, MVP 99.99%
is almost always given to the quarterback.
Has to be, not almost always is, but has to be given to the quarterback, right? I mean, what would Tyreek Hill have to do to win MVP? 2,300 yards, 2,200 yards, and 20 touchdowns?
Mm-hmm.
And if that happened, Tua's in the conversation probably.
Yeah.
Chicken or the egg type thing, I think. But yeah, I think that they need to come up with an MVP and then an offensive player of the year. Do they have an offensive player of the year award? I can't even remember. There's so many.
Hey, you know, I thought they did. And or maybe that might be a new thing that they put together, which is basically meant to be offensive player who's not a quarterback of the year.
Well, I mean, there's defensive player of the year, right?
Yeah.
And also, some of these awards are different in that who they're awarded by. Some are the AP, some are the Writers Association, stuff like that. So maybe I'm complaining about something I shouldn't be complaining about. But it's really
I think we can pretty much I mean, is there any doubt right now that Stroud has to be the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year?
Yes. I think some people would say Jalen Carter, who is probably the front runner for not just Rookie Defensive Player of the Year, but Defensive Player of the Year. So if that's the case, I mean, you would think he'd have a chance for it, or do they have him separate now? See, you're making me forget here.
I think they have them separate, but
they do.
That actually raises a question that you would, as a Philadelphia fan, would know better than me, and also as a defensive specialist, a little bit more so than me. Does Carter play as many snaps there, or has he just been effective when he's been on the field?
No, he's rotational, right? But most,
yeah.
But most all defensive lines do have a rotation of some sort. The Eagles happen to have the deepest defensive line in the league, probably. So, yeah, that allows you to stay fresher, right? But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's how are you impacting the game when you're on the field? And guess what? He was part of the final couple plays that did Dallas in last week.
There's a lot of teams that wish they had taken the chance on him in the draft this past year. So, yes.
And then you have – I've saw some people argue that it's Witherspoon in Seattle, and they pointed, well, look how many more snaps he's played. Okay, so that's true, right? But then you can break it down. Mm-hmm. How many snaps is it that he's running where his guy's not even really part of the progression, possibly, or you know, it's he's not involved because it's a running play 40% of the time type thing. So, I mean, I see arguments for both. I'm going to look at the overall picture of how they're impacting the game, and nothing to be ashamed of for Witherspoon, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do think Jalen Carter, the fact that he's in conversation for Defensive Player of the Year, says something. And you know what? I can't think of an offensive player that really is head and shoulders or even in the same tier as C.J. Stroud at this point.
Maybe if he hadn't gotten hurt, maybe Devon Achane. But
yeah, and
he got hurt, and that kind of eschewed his chances.
Maybe Jahmyr Gibbs, if.
If he had gotten a chance to start from day one, maybe, right. Yes.
Yeah.
And Bijan Robinson, his Arthur coach Smith wasn't didn't Smith. Exist.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, well, let's stop hemming and hawing. You ready? Let's get into running back. Rest of season rankings. Set an over-under for how many we're going to match in the same spot, and then how many of the 12 we're going to match.
We're going to match on two in the same spot. And we're going to match on seven of the names in total.
I'm going to take over.
Now I'm going to let the listeners know that I waited particularly into this the defenses that they're facing the rest of the season. where those defenses rank against the run. But also I factored in whether or not they were a quote-unquote lead back or if they were operating in more of a platoon. And also there's a few things that come into play, like if they still have their bye yet to come.
Okay. So I just put mine in a Phillies hat and pulled the names out, quite honestly. Now, go ahead. Start us off then. Give us your – let's do a top three. Let's do them in threes. How's that?
Sounds good. My top three are Christian McCaffrey, the recently underperforming Derrick Henry, and Jonathan Taylor. McCaffrey faces three top 10 defenses down the stretch, which kind of puts a little bit of a negative shine in him. But he also faces three bottom 10 defenses. Henry gets the best matchups of any running back, and the only reason he's not the top rest of season schedule player is because he's been struggling lately and giving up touches to Tyjae Spears. But he faces five bottom 10 defenses and two defenses in like the mid-20s, or I should say the mid-teens against the run. No top 10 defenses at all. So Henry and or Spears, great play the rest of the season. And number three, I've got Jonathan Taylor. He does have a bye coming up this week. They face two bottom five defenses, two mid-level defenses, only two top five defenses. So his schedule is very appealing as well.
And Zach Moss had one touch last week, right?
I'm sorry?
Zach Moss had a whole one touch this past week, I believe.
Yes.
So, well, we have two already. We hit the push. CMC at the top of my list. I do not have Henry as high as you do. And we almost didn't have a match on JT because I was going to push him up to second. But I actually put Austin Eckler in number two. And that's because we just know that that offense is going to put points and yards and go up and down the field. And I don't really think they're going to be in any tough shootout, non-shootout type games. As long as he's healthy and on the field, he's pretty safe due to the amount of times he catches passes. I do have JT at third. Honestly, I mean, JT gets his feet going. You could make a case for him to be number one, but CMC is CMC. So.
Okay, so my 4, 5, and 6 facing off against three of the five worst defenses in football against the run and only two top 10 defenses the rest of the way. Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. I've got him sitting in there at four. Those matchups are all very, very juicy, and he has really no competition for touches there. I put Eckler at the five spot for a lot of the reasons you did mention. My only concern with Eckler is the fact that he hasn't been getting the yards per carry that we're used to. So we really like Eckler for the fact he scores a lot of touchdowns. And at number six, I've got Isaiah Pacheco. The Chiefs face two bottom five defenses and only one defense that's inside the top five the entire rest of the way.
Well, that's a good reason why we're doing this exercise, because we already have two players and they're in the top six that aren't in my top 12. Mixon and Pacheco are not in my top 12. I absolutely understand it. I have concerns about Mixon and usage due to the offense. Matchup be damned, quite honestly, right? But a hurt Ja'Marr Chase, because the back is an issue. He didn't run as many routes and play as many snaps as normal, even though he had a good week this week. That could help tilt the thing in Mixon's favor, but at number four, I actually have Travis Etienne, which people will probably be like throwing up in their mouth right now because of the week they just had. At five, I have Alvin Kamara. And that doesn't matter to me if it's Derek Carr or Jameis Winston. And if you look, Kamara, up until this week, I didn't check this week's stats, was really the only one that was close on a per-game basis with Christian McCaffrey, albeit in limited time, because he missed the beginning of the season. And then I have King Henry at number six. Why six instead of five or higher? And honestly, it's the quarterback. I'd like to believe that the quarterback is going to be solid enough to allow him to be the Henry we're used to, but there's just enough of a worry that you get what you got this past week, which wasn't great, right? And it holds Henry back some. Plus, as you said, he's seeding some carries. So I have Henry at 6.
Based on their schedules, both Etienne and Kamara are outside of my top 12.
Okay. Fair enough.
I've got Etienne facing only one team that's considered a bottom five against the run the rest of the season, and three top 10 teams against the run. You know, Kamara has his bye this week.
Yep.
Then he faces three top five teams against the run over the last 5 weeks after that.
Tough, that's for sure. It's interesting, though. Both of us had two different picks in the top six that aren't any other person's top 12.
Yes.
Shows how subjective it is. Who do you have at 7, 8, and 9?
Okay, in this section here, we get interesting. Because I'm going to give you five names for 7, 8, and 9.
Okay.
At number 7, I've got Devon, Achan, and Raheem Mostert, depending on who plays. Those two combine to face three bottom 10 defenses down the stretch and only one top 10 defense against the stretch against the run. They do have that platoon, so they might eat into each other's touches some, but they both looked extremely valuable even when they were playing together. After them, I've got Bijan Robinson. He has an easy schedule as well, facing four bottom 10 defenses down the stretch. He also does have his bye, which hurts, and he also has Arthur Smith, which hurts. Those two things kind of keep him out of the top six for me, but four bottom 10 defenses down the stretch. If he's given the chance, he should be very, very good. And then at the last spot there, and that I've got the Detroit combo of Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery. They face three bottom 10 defenses, two defenses in the mid-teens, and only two top 10 defenses. Again, it is a platoon situation, but as we saw this past week, both of them can succeed.
Man, if you honestly told me that Achan or Mostert was the one who was going to get the bulk of the carries without cannibalizing
each other. He might be number one.
Yeah, they'd probably possibly be as high as number three for me, maybe higher, right? And the same goes with Gibbs and Monty, honestly. I could see them, either one of them, being top five if we knew the other didn't exist. But they do, so that's why neither one of those pairs are in my top 12. I don't hate at all your logic and reasoning, though. At number 7, I put a guy that I think people are worried about, a rookie. I wouldn't be. I think it's just normal, you know, snap splitting. But look, in fantasy football, you can deal with a two-headed running back monster, right? It's three-headed when you got trouble. And in Miami, you do have Jeff Wilson and some other stuff. So, but in any event, I've got KW3, Kenneth Walker, at my number 6 spot. Because I think that, look, Geno showed that he could throw the ball this weekend, but Walker didn't look too bad. He actually had a nice catch for 64 yards for a touchdown, and I do think that they will lean on the run a little more so as the weather gets worse going forward. So he's at 6 for me. I'm sorry, at 7. Henry was at 6. At 8, I have a guy who I'd like to say I think he's over exceeded expectations so far this year. And that's DeAndre Swift. Hard not to like what he's doing. And the Eagles are going to run the ball. And even in tough defensive matchups, they've got the best line in football. So I believe he belongs in the top 10. Maybe I have a couple spots too high, but bye week is this week, so you've got him the rest of the season. I think at number 8, it makes sense. Guy I have at 9, I hate. I hate that I have him in my top 12. But I don't know how you keep the talent out, quite honestly, because they don't have anything else. And that's the conundrum. Because they don't have anything else, how much does it hurt him? And that's Saquon Barkley. And maybe I just can't get past it as Saquon, and I didn't want to include him in my top 12. But, man, Danny DeVito's nephew better get going to make Barkley feel good. But who else are they going to give the ball to? They've got to try and shorten games, right? Hopefully they don't get behind 21-0 right away. And he can catch the ball at least two. And of course, that matters if only the quarterback can get him the ball. But I do have Barkley at 9. Don't love it, but that's who's at 9 for me.
Well, I've actually got all three of those players outside of my top 12 as well.
Okay.
Swift actually is very close. I actually ranked him at 13th. So I do like Swift for a lot of the reasons you said. He does get three games against bottom 10 teams, only one game against a top 10 team. My only knock on him was the fact that he still cedes touchdowns to both Kenneth Gainwell and Jalen Hurts. So I think that takes away some of his value. But, I do like him. He's just outside my top 12.
Okay.
I've got Walker in about number 15, I would say. He faces six teams that are in the top 20 against the pass, four in the top 10. I'm sorry, against the run, four in the top 10. Only one team that's considered a bottom feeder against the run the rest of the way. That's a little concerning. I'm also concerned about the fact that Zach Charbonnet has been getting more and more work every single week there. So I think he's going to start chopping into his overall production a little bit more. Saquon, I want nothing to do with. Again, as you mentioned, that offense is an absolute quandary right now. They do not face a single team against the run better than 20th the rest of the way. I'm sorry, that's worse than 20th against the run. And most of the teams they face are in the top 10.
Yeah.
Plus, he has his bye still to come, which kind of disqualifies him a little bit in terms of value for me. Getting back to my 10, 11, and 12. I'm sorry, my 10, 11, and 12. At 10, I'm going to go with one of the few remaining bell cow backs, and that's Josh Jacobs. His schedule isn't great. He does have his bye still to come. He only faces one team in the bottom five against the run. But he does have four games against mid-tier defenses against the run, so five of his six are at least on a positive note. We've seen over the last couple of weeks that Aiden O'Connell and the new coaching staff there are willing to give him the ball on a handoff more. He's been getting a lot of touches. I like Jacobs as that spot. At number 11 for me, I've got a guy who's kind of come on the last couple of weeks. There was a lot of talk this preseason that he was going to lose carries to a couple of different players, but he's held on to the starting job the entire season. That's Rashad White. He faces two bottom five defenses against the run the rest of the way and two middle-tier defenses against the run. Again, he is the bell cow right now there because none of those other players has really stepped up to take away carries from. And my number 12 spot is another duo. That's going to be Jerome Ford and Kareem Hunt. They face five teams in the bottom 10 against the run. They face two teams in the middle tier against the run. They do not face a single top 10 team against the run the rest of the way. Hunt's the touchdown guy. Ford's the between the 20s guy. They both are good players. So I guess I actually gave our listeners 15 players for the price of 12.
There you go. So at and the so we got a push on two, and we're going to have the over. The over is not going to hit on the seven. At 10, I have Bijan. That's where I put him. I put him at 10. And that was hard to do. I almost pushed him down to 12. I then put him to 11. I was like, he's coming on, right? I'll give him benefit of the doubt and look the matchups. I put him at 10. At 11, I have Josh Jacobs. You had him at 10, correct?
Thanks.
Okay. So we missed hitting the over by one spot there. I actually kind of like the attitude that the Raiders have now under Antonio Pierce. We'll see if they can carry it. And, you know, having a quarterback named Aiden O'Connell, that may be something that hurts a little bit down the line, but that we'll see. And then at 12, I did have on my short radar Rashad White, but I'm a little concerned. Are you not concerned about Baker's finger injury or whatever it is, thumb injury?
It's a thumb. It sounds like he's going to play through it, though, so I don't think it's going to be a big issue with him.
Yeah, it was a little concerning because if he can't play for any length of time, what does that mean, right?
They turn it over to Kyle Trask, who, while he doesn't have the reps this season, was actually in a quarterback competition that was fairly tight with Baker throughout the preseason. So
yeah,
it's not like they're dropping off to Danny DeVito.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Clayton Tune.
And at 12, I went with a guy that's younger. He's got some fresh legs, probably doesn't have the best matchups, but I think that their coach will want to run the ball, especially if a particular veteran quarterback is still out recouping and rehabbing. I went with Breece Hall at number 12. And for me, I don't know, just something about Hall. I know he didn't have a great stat line last night, but some of his runs look really good, and I think that he's close to being somebody that you can rely on as a low-end running back one for the rest of the year.
He was just outside my top 12, too. He's very close on my rankings. He gets only two games against top 10 defenses against the run the rest of the way. Certainly, there's a lot of running backs that I'd not take in front of him.
Yeah.
Some guys that didn't make my list that people might be wondering about. Tony Pollard.
Yeah.
He's just not looked good this year. He's looked completely washed, being given the chance to be the lead back. He's got a horrible schedule coming up the rest of the way. So he's not in my my gathered group here. Guy coming back from his injury, who people liked at the start of the year, Kyren Williams. He's still injured technically, so he probably won't play this week. He's got two games against bottom five defenses, but he also has three games against top 10 defenses coming up against the run. So, yeah, you might not want to count on him if you've been holding on to him, maybe try to sell him off to some team that is looking for the playoffs and thinking, yeah, oh, I'm going to go get Kyren Williams for the playoffs. Ha ha, you can have him. and one guy who just missed my top 12, that if he was on a better team that had more offense around him, I probably would have taken, and that's Ramondre Stevenson, who's a little dinged up right now.
Yeah.
He faces three teams in the bottom five against the run down the stretch, three teams in the teens against the run. So six games against bad or awful run defenses. He does have his bye coming up, and he is technically still in a semi-platoon with Ezekiel Elliott. So those were the knocks against him. Again, that whole offense is kind of questionable. But, yeah, he's definitely a possibility too.
Okay. Pollard, so I think people forget the, and I'll call it gruesome, because I think anytime you break anything, it's gruesome, right? The broken leg that he suffered in the playoffs last year against San Francisco. But they're like, oh, well, it was a break. It wasn't, that's not the same as an ACL.
They were on a break.
Achilles. Yeah, right. They were on a break. It's not the same as a, you know, an MCL, an ACL, an Achilles, blah, blah, blah. Breaks once they heal. That's true. Okay. The injury heals. But what does it do to the player's psyche? Now, if you really, like, you see, it bugs the crap out of me when you see them show a hole that's open for a running back in super slow motion, and in real time it was only open for like a fraction of a second, right? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're second guessing yourself, or you're having those kind of things, can make holes close on you, and I can't help but wonder, is there any kind of mental impact to the fracture that he suffered? Who knows? But yeah, he hasn't looked good this year.
Not at all. And again, it the last couple of weeks they faced some pretty bad defenses, but he really hasn't done much. It's been mainly the passing game.
Yep. All right. So we matched it. We matched on two in the same spot, and I think it was five overall. Believe it or not, no, six. Because let me see, was it five? Was Bijan? No, five. Five overall. So not even half. Boo. All right. Let's go running back. I mean wide receiver. Let's see if we do any better. Set it up. Over under.
Okay. Wide receiver. A little bit easier for matching, I think, on the wide receiver position. I've got nine matches overall and three in the same spot.
Three in the same?
Actually, make it 10 and 10 and 3.
So I'm going to take the under on the 10. The 9 was going to be tough. The 3 is a push. I see the 3 as a push, so I'm going to take the over, though. And I think that you can be a little more player-centric in rankings for wide receivers versus matchup-centric, right?
Yeah, well, I did do matchups on these. I did do players as well. Plus, I also factored in the potential for bad weather.
Right, okay. Well, you know what? Us and weathermen probably have about the same job description with getting things right. So start us off. Who are you? Who's your top three?
My number one is going to be CeeDee Lamb. He's been on a bit of a hot streak lately. Faces four teams that are bottom 10 against alpha wide receivers the rest of the way. Only one team that's very, very good against the pass. And that team he's already played well against. They've only got one possible bad weather game the rest of the way, which is nice. So he's my number one. Number two, I've got your guy, A.J. Brown, the Philadelphia Eagles. He faces two bottom 10 defenses down the stretch, a couple of top 10 defenses against the pass. But the big knock on him right now is, and we've seen him play in bad weather games before, but he's got four possible bad weather games down the stretch, which is a little bit scary for me. Okay. Keenan Allen, my number three. He has one bottom 10 team on his defense against coming up here and three top 10 teams against the pass. The big things that he has going for him, though, and why I've got him ranked so high is he has absolutely no competition, as everybody else in that wide receiver room is injured or getting hurt on a regular basis, including Allen, who came back in and scored a second touchdown with a dislocated shoulder basically last night. He's only got two games that have potential weather issues, but they're very, very thin weather issues, more so than some of the more scary ones. So that's my 1-2-3, Lamb, Brown, Allen.
And I can't be quoted on this, but I'm pretty sure that this is what I saw when I looked at some stats last night. Keenan Allen, I think, had 14 or 15 targets. All the other wide receivers on the team combined to have only two more targets than he had that game.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. So at one, we do not match. At number two, we do. I actually have Tyreek Hill. And I have him there because, look, we just did our election last week, right? And
yes,
we gave him the check mark, said he's the one that's going to get across the finish line. He's also chasing history, in a sense. And when Tyreek Hill's chasing anything, I'm going to go with speed. Speed kills. I don't hate CeeDee Lamb. He is in my top 12. I won't give any more teasers than that. I do have A.J. Brown at number two. And then at three, I stuck with the way we had him last week. He's Speaker of the House for us. I went with Stephon Diggs at number three. I think it's a given that the team's going to have to throw the ball. Diggs is going to make sure he's getting the ball. Of course, right now I don't think much is happening in the Monday night game that we're watching, so we don't have a 10th game to look at. But I have Diggs at number three. I do not hate Keenan Allen as high as that. I don't hate CeeDee Lamb that high. Maybe it's some of my Dallas discourse that has me not having him that high.
Okay. So let's see. I do have my 4, 5, and 6 for you now.
Okay.
At number four, I've got Tyreek Hill. The big things that knocked Tyreek Hill out of the top three for me going forward the rest of the season were, while he faces two teams that are bottom five against the pass, he faces five defenses that are top 10 against the pass in terms of yardage allowed to the position. He's got three games that potentially could have bad weather. And there's always concerns about weather and rain issues down in Florida, too, during the home game. So, got some potential weather issues for Hill down there. Obviously, his speed makes him electric and elite. He's been super good the rest of the season. So, I couldn't slip him any further than four, but I've got him at four.
He's also the only guy. He's also the only guy in the top 12 that scores his touchdowns for his old teams, too.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead.
Number five, I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. Faces only one team in the bottom 10 against the pass the rest of the way. But he only has one game that's going to be a potential weather game, and he's been on fire of late. All season, he has either scored and or topped 100 yards in every single game. That is consistency. I like him at number five going forward, particularly the fact that no weather issues despite playing in the NFC North. And number six, I've got Stephon Diggs for much of the same reasons you mentioned. He's a ball hog. He's going to get his targets. He's going to get his catches. He does have his bye coming up, which is a knock against him. He does face three top 10 defenses down the stretch, which is a bit of a knock against him, including he faces the Jets next weekend, I believe. He's got four possible bad weather games, which could be a factor, although he's always fared well in bad weather environments in the past. So that's not as big of an issue. But, again, I've got him at six right now, and he's kind of on that cusp for me.
Okay. Fair enough. At four, I have your number five guy. I've got Amon-Ra St. Brown at number four for me. Love him. I can see him being five, but I actually have him above your number one. I've got CeeDee Lamb at number five. There's probably an argument you could make to make them 1-2, though, right? In either direction that you wanted to. And then at six, I've got a guy that you haven't mentioned yet. And I'm sure you're going to say he's got some tough matchups. Two, he's got some weather concerns. And three, the reason he's at six and not higher for me is he's dealing with a back issue. And maybe for that, maybe I should have taken out the previous production and said he should really be pushed down further. But I've got Ja'Marr Chase at number six.
I don't have any problem with that because I put Ja'Marr Chase at number seven. So
okay, there you go.
He showed even with a back injury that he could play pretty good this past week. So
yep.
Yeah, no, he faces three. Actually, he's got a good schedule. He's got three bottom 10 pass defenses coming up here. Two defenses in the mid-teens against the pass. So five of his games will be again in positive scripts for himself. Only two top 10 defenses facing him. The big knock on Chase, like I said, is the injury. He's also got five potential bad weather games coming up. And we haven't seen a ton of Chase in bad weather condition games despite playing in the AFC North. The games we've seen, he's still produced. I know I remember one game in particular where he had three touchdowns, and that may have been more to do with the fact that the other team's defense sucked. But that was an AFC North clash in bad weather a couple of years ago. But, yeah, he's got a good matchup to get the rest of the way, so I've got him at number seven. Number eight, I jump to Cooper Kupp, who faces five defenses in the bottom half of the league, including two in the bottom 10. Only got two potential bad weather games, and it sounds like he's going to have Matthew Stafford back. And this time, if Stafford does go down, they've at least got a semi-competent backup in Carson Wentz there. And at number nine, I've got the guy who I think actually is kind of the sneaky player that no one's talking about right now, and that's Mike Evans. He faces five teams in the bottom half against the pass, including one team in the bottom 10. Only got one potential weather issue game. And he's got touchdowns in more than two-thirds of his games this season.
Yeah, okay. So far, we're in good shape. We seem to be doing that back and forth where we're just one off because you'll see in a minute. At seven, I have Keenan Allen. I have no problem with you having him up at three. I don't think Keenan has gotten the credit he deserves over the past few years. He's probably one of the more underrated wide receivers in the game. And he's one of my favorite wide receivers. And he's got a great beard. At eight, I've got
looks
a
like
guy.
In a mom.
Huh?
He looks like an imam with okay. The big beard, and he usually wears the white wrap on his head.
Yeah. And the way the beard sticks out of his chin strap and everything else, he's a football player. At eight, I've got a guy that I'm not going to be shocked if he's not in your top 12. And there's people probably going to be like, ooh, him in your top 12? What? This is all based on me expecting him to be back playing this week. If he doesn't, he doesn't belong in the top 12, honestly. If I knew for certain he was coming back and there wasn't a risk, right, I might have him in my top two or three, maybe number one. I've got Justin Jefferson at eight, and that's all based on upside. And then at nine, I have Cooper Kupp. You had him at eight. I've got him at nine. That's that little back and forth we got going on. A little concerned about Puka Nacua still there to steal some stuff. And glad that Stafford's going to be back. Should Kupp be higher? Yeah, he could be. I think that that's a good range for him, though, in that 8 to 10 range, you know, with what you expect to get from him.
So I actually did put Justin Jefferson in my top 12 at number 12.
All right.
It's all based on whether or not he comes back and plays. At the very least, he'll probably miss one more game due to injury. The problem is, after that, they've also still got their bye. And he faces two top 10 defenses against the pass and three defenses that are kind of middling against the pass. He does not get a single game the rest of the season against a bad defense against the pass. Now, we know Jefferson can get done against good defenses, but he also has to deal with the fact that he's got no practice reps with Joshua Dobbs. So I like him as top 12 still, but I just the schedule is a little too wary for me for there.
Look.
At number 11, I've got Michael Pittman. He faces three defenses in the bottom five against the pass, including two that have been absolutely atrocious to alpha wide receivers. He faces two teams in the middle against the pass and only one top 10 team against the pass. The big knocks on Pittman is he does have his bye. He's only got one game that's potentially a weather game, so he's certainly got that going for him. And that number 10, got a guy who should be getting the ball a lot more now that he's got a new quarterback, he's got a new coach, and he's got a new GM running the show there in Las Vegas. That's Davante Adams. Faces three bottom 10 defenses down the stretch. He does have a bye coming up, but he's only got one possible weather game. Again, the biggest knock, though, is whether or not the rookie quarterback can give him the ball. So far, it looks like he can.
Okay. As far as JJ goes, he's missed time. He's hungry. Hungry dogs run faster, right?
Yes.
And, I mean, it's not rocket science. You get the ball to your best wide receiver. Oh, you like that, right? I picked up on last week.
Well, you also got to face the fact, though, that let's say he does come back, and let's say he does command his target shares and whatnot. There's still a lot of weapons to use in that Vikings offense. So
yeah. Yeah, you're right. There's concern. It's not a given, but I just couldn't overlook.
If we knew he was going to play this week, if we knew he was going to be 100% this week, if we knew that Joshua Dobbs could give him the ball consistently, he could easily be number one on this list.
Yeah. That's the if.
Yeah, right? That's a lot of ifs.
Exactly. And the ifs are why he's where he is. Hey, at number 10, we have a match. I have Michael Pittman also. I thought for sure he was going to be one of the 12 we didn't possibly match on. Very underrated, right? Very underrated. And he's 2 years in a row. I mean, he's going to probably – he may just barely miss 100 catches, but I'm not going to be shocked if he eclipses 100 catches this year. At 11, we have our first guy that isn't in the top 12, at least to this point. I don't have Adams in my top 12. You had him at 11. I have this is so hard to say. I have DJ Moore at number 11. Yeah, okay. I didn't like 11 and 12. I was fighting with myself at 12. I wanted to include DeAndre Hopkins. I couldn't. I just, as much as I want to, I can't. And honestly, what I probably should have done is I probably should have pushed DJ down to number 12, but I have Mike Evans at 12 because I was concerned a little bit about Baker's thumb, quite honestly. So there you go.
Understand.
So my 10, 11, 12 is Pittman, Moore, Evans. So we hit on 11 of 12 and only two in the same spot. So the under didn't hit and the over didn't hit. And we're running long.
Yes.
A lot long. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I will run down mine real quick, and then you can run down yours real quick, and then we'll get into some DFS stuff. At running back, top 12 for me, rest of season, CMC, Eckler, Jonathan Taylor, ATN, Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry, KW3, Swift, Barkley, Jacobs, Bijan, Jacobs, Breece Hall. At wide receiver, Hill, A.J. Brown, Diggs, Amon-Ra St. Brown, C.D. Lamb, Chase, Keenan Allen, J.J., Kupp, Pittman, D.J. Moore, and Mike Evans.
And for me at running back, McCaffrey, Henry, Taylor, Mixon, Eckler, Pacheco, the Dolphins, Bijan, the Detroit Lions, Josh Jacobs, the Cleveland Browns, and Rashad White. And at wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, A.J. Brown, Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, Cooper Kupp, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman, Davante Adams, and Justin Jefferson.
Hey, real quick, Isaiah Pacheco, you know he's from Vineland, New Jersey, right?
I did not know that.
Yes, he's from Vineland, New Jersey. I used to live in Vineland, New Jersey. I have family there still, believe it or not. It is a very small town, known more for farming than anything else, believe it or not. But I was shocked when I heard that a few weeks ago, actually. I was like, oh, wait a minute, he's from Vineland? That's crazy. Okay, time for us to get into some DFS, pay-ups, stay-aways, and value plays. Harley's going to set the over-under, and we don't discuss this stuff, all that, you know, good stuff, blah, 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 blah. Hit us with a number, Harley.
We've got a little more players to choose from this week, so the line is set at 4.
Four. I'm going to take the under. It's going to push, but I'm going to take the under. He paid up for at wide. I'm sorry, wide receiver. Listen to me. He paid up for at the quarterback spot.
Well, so you can make an argument for paying up for and for staying away from most of the top players at quarterback this week, because
yes,
they all have decent matchups, but they all also have some potential knock against them. And the guy I'm going to pay up for is coming off of two of the best weeks ever by any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. And that's C.J. Stroud versus Arizona. He's at 7,000 on DraftKings, 8,000 on FanDuel. That's the fifth highest price on both sites. You know, again, like I said, I don't love and I don't hate any of the guys priced above him. But he's got 826 passing yards and 7 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. And he might be getting back his best receiver this week. So only thing to do is go upward for Stroud.
We have a match right out the gate. I didn't know if that was going to be possible. Unlike you, though, I don't like all the other top wide receiver. Wide receiver on the brain. I don't like all the rest of the top quarterbacks.
I don't like them, but I also don't hate them either. That's the thing.
Okay. I'm closer to hate than like.
They're just all higher priced.
Yeah, they're closer to hate than like for me, though. yeah. I don't think Josh has a very good matchup. Tua doesn't have a very good matchup. Herbert doesn't have a good matchup. Dak doesn't have a good matchup if you look at recency bias with Carolina. Yep. So at that point, for me, it was easy to go Stroud. I mean, it's shocked that he's the fifth highest guy on the board, but it's fitting, and he's the guy I'd pay up for. So with that, I'll give you my stay away. If I'm not in love with any of those guys, I'm staying away from the highest priced guy on the board, right? He's facing a yes. Jets team that is 22nd in fantasy points allowed to the quarterback spot this year, and I foresee a little lower scoring game this week when these two division rivals square off.
You know, I wanted to stay away from Josh Allen. I wanted that to be my stay away play for much of that reason, because the Jets are very tough to pass against. And in week one of this season, Josh Allen was held to only one touchdown passing against them. So it's not like the Jets haven't stopped him before. When I looked at Josh Allen's recent stats, though, he's been averaging 2.5 touchdowns a game for the last 5 weeks, including rushing touchdowns in like 4 of the last 5. So he's been about as hot as you can get. So I couldn't just out and out make him my stay away.
Okay.
I look at the Tua game. Yes, Vegas is tougher against the pass than they are the run. But it is at home in Miami, and it's still Tua, and he still has Tyreek Hill to throw to. So I didn't like it. I don't like the price as much, but I didn't hate it. I look at Justin Herbert. He's coming off probably his worst game as a professional last week. His price is high, and he's facing a Green Bay defense that's actually much, much more difficult to pass against than to run. So he was the guy that I was going to say stay away from. But then I thought to myself, you know what? The guy who everyone is going to own this week, based on last week's numbers, is Dak Prescott.
Good point.
And I don't want Dak Prescott based on his over-ownership following his blowout of the Giants. That was against the Giants. This is against Carolina. Only 3 quarterbacks have thrown for multiple touchdowns against Carolina this entire season. And there's an outside chance that J.C. Horn returns this week. Now, again, it's not a zero chance. So the likelihood is that he won't play this week. But if he does, that just makes the matchup even less enjoyable for me.
So for what it's worth, over week 6 through 9, and I have to say 6 through 9 because we don't have all of week 10 in yet, and I don't have stats for that. But over those 4 weeks, 6 through 9, the Raiders have given up the fewest amount of points, fantasy points, to quarterbacks. And in that same time frame, the Panthers are 25th. So not a great matchup. And I think people are going to think that Dak's just going to keep eating. And I guess he could. It's also in Carolina. So weather plays a part there. It's a little bit colder. You might have some rain this weekend. Just some wind. It just – and he's got some – the coach has some familiar out. Oh, goodness. He knows Dak.
It's a hard word.
He knows Dak from his time with the Eagles, right? So
– yes.
Yeah, I don't mind that as your stay away, quite honestly.
You know, we might match on our value play.
We might, because there weren't too many values.
Yeah, that was the thing. So I originally looked at Sam Howell, but his price is a little bit too high.
Yeah.
And he faced France a couple weeks ago, and he didn't do very well against him in that game. Yes, he has been very good recently, but yeah, so he wasn't my choice. I thought about Deshaun Watson, who's been playing better against Pittsburgh, but over the last couple of games, Pittsburgh's been better against the pass than they've been at the start of the season, so I didn't choose him. I thought about Geno Smith on the road against the Rams. I didn't choose him. I settled on a guy in that same range, though. I went with a guy who's been kind of maligned this season for poor play, and that's Jordan Love.
We have a match, my man.
5,600 on DraftKings, 7,300. A little bit high on FanDuel, but I can kind of stomach it. The Chargers have allowed the most passing yards per game. In the three other games that Love started against a bottom five pass defense, he's thrown for a total of 8 touchdowns. So he's done good against bad pass defenses. He's done bad against good pass defenses, but the Chargers aren't one.
So we do have a match, and for what it's worth, year to date, the Chargers have given up the second most points to the quarterback position. And over that same 6 to 9 weeks, week 6 to 9 that I like to quote, the fifth most. So yeah, he's got a really good matchup. And it's unusual for us to match at value play at quarterback, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It's about a 30 yard per game difference between them and the next closest team in terms of yards allowed.
Yeah. All right. What do you got at running back? Let's see if we can continue some hotness here.
Okay. Guy I'm going to pay up for is the second highest priced guy on the board, and that's Austin Eckler. 8,600 on DraftKings, 8,800 on FanDuel. Green Bay has been absolutely gouged by running backs over the last couple weeks. They just allowed the Pittsburgh duo of Jalen Warren and Najee Harris to top 200 total yards and score twice. Oh, and Eckler has 4 scores in his last 3 games, so I think touchdowns are going to be easy for Eckler this week.
So we don't match. I don't hate it, quite honestly. I went a little bit further down the list to a guy who's actually sharing some touches, but he's at home. Weather's not going to be a problem. I don't think the defense is going to be a problem. I'm paying up for Jahmyr Gibbs. You're looking at he's facing a Bears team that season to date has ranked 6th in points allowed to the fantasy running back position. And if you give me a second, I'll tell you where they rank in that 4-week period from week 6 to 9. Probably dead last, right? With my luck.
I wonder if they've gotten better since their trade.
Let's see. We'll tell you in a second because my internet's going slow, even though I pay for 1 gig internet service. Running back total, not average. Let's try this again. Let's make the show go a little longer. Let's see. Where did Chicago hide? Oh, yeah. You know what? Scroll, please. Oh, not good for my pick. They're 27th in points allowed over the last 4 weeks, excluding week 10. But Gibbs is the guy.
I was going to say, over their last 3 games, Chicago has allowed, the only 2.7 yards per carry to running backs.
Yeah. I think that Gibbs can shake a little of that. That's for sure.
Well, and Gibbs isn't going to be getting a ton of carries. He's going to be catching those short passes and doing stuff with it. So, yeah, he's still got value there.
Yep. So he's staying away from – are we both staying away from the highest-priced man on the board?
Yeah, it's Christian McCaffrey. It's a tough matchup.
Yep.
Only 5 running backs have reached double-digit PPR points against Tampa Bay this season. McCaffrey will hit double-digit PPR points, but he's not going to hit 3x value.
Exactly. It's just – don't overthink it. That's all there is to it. And Tampa's 28th on the year in points allowed to the running back position. So you have 2 opportunities to match me on my value play because I've got a value play for DraftKings and I have a value play for FanDuel.
You've got 2 opportunities to match me at value play.
Okay.
Mine aren't separated by the site. Mine are separated by who gets the start.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Houston running back versus Arizona. Damian Pierce is 5,400 and 5,900. Devin Singletary is 5,300 and 6,500. Arizona has allowed the 5th most rushing yards and 4th most rushing touchdowns per game, including 6 rushing touchdowns over their last 3 games.
So, go ahead. Who's your next one?
That is my pair, Damian Pierce and Devin Singletary.
Oh, you're doing them together. You aren't doing them like you did before where two equaled one. I gotcha.
Nope. So whichever one gets the start.
So we have a half a match then. Because I looked right, they're both priced right about where each other is, right?
Yep, they're literally right on top of each other at DraftKings.
Yeah, Singletary is only $100 less, but he is $600 more on FanDuel. So
yes,
I'm saying that I like Devin Singletary. I wrote down Pierce by accident, though, believe it or not. I don't know why. What caused me to do that. It's Singletary that I like. The coaching staff will ride the hot hand, so I do believe he starts this week. But if not, I have no problem pivoting the Pierce. That's probably why I wrote it down wrong. And then my other play is Ford, Jerome Ford for Cleveland at Pittsburgh, at home versus Pittsburgh, I should say. I like his FanDuel price. I'm sorry, his DraftKings price of $5,200. But I wouldn't be afraid to play him on either site. 67 is a little harder to take, though.
Yes.
I'm only taking a half star, so that'll only help us if we push. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Wide receiver, who are you paying up for?
Paying up for Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Chicago. 8,800 on DraftKings, 8,900 on FanDuel. 13 different wide receivers have reached double-digit points against the Bears this season. And St. Brown, as I mentioned earlier, has scored and or topped 100 receiving yards in every single game that he has played this season.
I don't hate that at all. You're probably going to say, wait, who are you paying up for? Because I just realized that he's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He's the 11th highest priced receiver on DraftKings. I'm actually paying up for Brandon Ayuk this week at home against Tampa Bay. It's a fantastic matchup.
It really is.
Am I concerned about Deebo Samuel? Yes. Is that offset because it's Tampa Bay? Yes. So, yeah, I made Ayuk my payup. He could have been my value play, quite honestly.
Tampa Bay has been absolutely atrocious against the pass the last couple of weeks, so I can totally appreciate that. Ayuk is actually going to be one of the guys I highly recommend using as like a wide receiver two in your lineup this week if you spend up at wide receiver.
Okay. Who are you staying away from?
The guy I'm staying away from, what you'll notice is that top four priced DraftKings receivers coincide with the top four priced quarterbacks on DraftKings. And as we already mentioned, each of them faces a somewhat stingy defense. So it's pretty easy to choose one of those four as my stay away. The one I chose to stay away from is Stephon Diggs versus the Jets. 9,100 on DraftKings. And surprisingly, he's cheaper on FanDuel, which is, you never really see, which is kind of interesting. In the three games that Diggs has faced the Jets since Sauce Gardner joined the Jets, he has one big game, week one this season. He caught 10 passes for a little over 100 yards. He's also got two so-so games. And you know what? Despite facing an absolute murderer's row of quarterbacks this season, the Jets have only allowed two of those quarterbacks to throw for more than one touchdown all season against this defense. So you're hoping that the touchdown goes to Diggs because there's only going to be one. You're also hoping that he maybe gets 7 or 8 catches, maybe gets 70 or 80 yards. That's not $9,100 price tag.
I don't dislike it. My stay away is Tyreek Hill. I figure I don't think these top guys have as great matchups as what people would expect or hope that they'll have. I know he's at home. I know I talked him up as my top 12. You know what I mean? My number one in the top 12. Mm-hmm. But in DFS, you can look at it differently. I'm not playing Tyreek Hill at 93 and 9,800 with some of the options like Amon-Ra St. Brown and the Brandon Ayuks and the Deebo Samuels, who isn't even on my first page without scrolling down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it again, it's like you got Hill, you've got CeeDee Lamb, you've got Diggs, you've got Allen. The four quarterbacks we talked about.
Yep.
We're all right there. You got your Herbert, you got your Prescott, you've got Tua, and you've got Allen. Top four price quarterbacks, top four price receivers.
And the funny thing is,
none of them has a great matchup. If I had to choose one of them, probably I'm choosing either Lamb or Allen. But again, the nice thing about DFS, you don't have to choose any of those four.
Exactly. If I had to choose one of them, it would be CD, actually. While they've been tougher, Carolina's been tougher on the quarterback fantasy point-wise, wide receiver of late, they've been able to make some noise against them. But like you said, J.C. Horn comes back. That could change the whole dynamic of it. But it's funny. I stayed away from Josh. I could have stacked it with Diggs, and I didn't, and we would have had a match. Who is your value play? I think we were going to match here.
Well, let's see. I've actually got two.
Okay.
So we might have a match again, too, based on two things. My first option is if Nico Collins remains out next week,
okay,
which is doubtful. It sounds like he's going to play.
Yep.
But if Nico is out again, then I love to use Noah Brown this week because the algorithm has not caught up with his price yet.
Correct.
He's still only 4,800 and 6,100. And you got to take advantage of that while you can, because you know for certain next weekend, after they've got 3 weeks of big stats on him, his price is going to shoot up astronomically. Now, if Collins plays, that's going to take away a lot of Brown's usage, though. So he's the if play. And if Collins does play, I'm going to stack my value play quarterback and my value play receiver.
Hey.
And that's Romeo Doubs, 5,200 on DraftKings, 6,300 on FanDuel.
Oh.
We've already talked about how bad the Chargers are against the pass, particularly against outside wide receivers. That's Doubs especially.
Oh, we were so close when you said stack. I'm stacking them too. I'm stacking with the cheaper guy, though. I'm going with Christian Watson.
There's a reason why Christian Watson's price is cheaper right now.
Yes, I know. And I think this week we see him.
And I don't believe it, because I have a huge, huge best ball share of Christian Watson this offseason. I really want him to be something.
Yeah. At that price, I think he's worth a shot. You know what? Throw the lineup and do both of them, because I think one of them's definitely going to hit. Both probably not, but one probably so. So do one with stacked with love and do the other stacked with love.
Yep.
No half match. I really thought we were going to get a match there when you said stack. Really did. I had to check and see if he was hurt when I saw the price was so depressed. I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on here? He's too good. I know he needs to be better, but I'm willing to roll the dice with him. As a value play under $5,000, I think that's hard to go wrong with at this point. Mm-hmm. Let's have some fun at tight end. And by the way, no pressure, but we're currently at 3, and I took the under, which was 4. So who are you paying up for at the tight end spot?
Yep, the highest priced guy on the board, George Kittle versus Tampa Bay. Over their last four games, Tampa Bay is allowing 6.5 receptions, 78 yards, and half a touchdown to the tight end position. On Kittle, over his last three games, he's got 17 catches for 343 yards and a touchdown. That's over 100 yards a game of the last three for him. He's white hot. Tampa Bay is white not.
Well, we're not going to match there, which is going to impact another position in just a little bit here. Yeah. So, let me pull this up so I can check something real quick and make sure that I don't misspeak here. Okay, yes, I'm not. So, year to date, the Houston Texans ranked first in points allowed to the fantasy tight end position. Week 6 through 9, they're third. They're still a great matchup, right? I don't know if Henry 2020, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and I feel bad that I just hacked it up on him probably.
Toto, maybe,
yeah. Henry, I don't know if the rookie's going to be back this week or not. That won't help. So I'm actually paying up, if you can believe this. Are you ready? For the third, the fourth, fifth, the sixth priced, highest priced guy on the board, I'm paying up for Trey McBride. I don't dislike George Kittle's matchup. He's actually
I don't dislike the Trey McBride pick either. I mean, he's been white hot also the last couple weeks,
and him and Hurts Kyler
will be back this week.
Him and Kyler look like they were in tune this week. Kittle's got a good matchup. It's 10-7, where McBride's is 1-3. So it's not like it's a bad matchup, but if I'm going to pay up for another guy that I can get at such a huge discount, then that means I got to stay away from George Kittle, even though I don't dislike his. Plus, I think he's chalk this week. I think he's chalking me.
He should be. He should be chalked this week,
right? So I'm pivoting hard. I'm pivoting to. I'm staying away from George Kittle. Not only not paying up for him, but I'm staying away from George Kittle because of that. I could have made an argument for why to play Sam Laporta, even Dalton Schultz, possibly even Dalton Kincaid, maybe not. Jake Ferguson even, possibly, right? But not when you look at the matchup that Trey McBride has. So that's why I landed on Trey McBride as my pay-up and George Kittle as my chalked stay-away.
Well, I think that Kittle will have a fair amount of chalk to him this week. The guy that I'm staying away from is going to be the true chalk this week, and that's Dalton Schultz facing Arizona. 5,000 on DraftKings, 6,800 on FanDuel. He's only $200 cheaper than Kittle on FanDuel this week.
Yeah.
Well, only three tight ends have reached double-digit points against Arizona all season. I absolutely love Schultz. I'm going to have him in some personal lineups. But there's so many weapons in this offense. If Nico Collins comes back, that's one more mouth to feed.
Yep.
There's a decent chance that Schultz just gets ignored this week. And it's not because he's good. It's just because they don't have to throw him the ball. They're going to run the ball a lot in this game, too.
Yeah, and you know, you're not wrong. Like, Arizona used to be the punching bag for many years, right? Over the last 6 weeks, 6 through 9, they're like 22nd in points to the tight end. And year-to-date, it's like they're 28th. So, no, it's not a good matchup.
And those numbers are only slightly inflated because Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely combined for like 16 PPR points against them.
Exactly. So there is that. I mean, outside of maybe playing Cleveland, I don't know that there's a tight end.
Cleveland is so tough against the tight end. Again, except for Mark Andrews, who has like 75% of their yards against them this year.
Yeah, he's got like 60% of all fantasy points that were scored against him this year, the two games he's played. And he didn't do much this week. Mm-hmm. So, all right, who's your value play? Let's see if we can get the push on our value play.
So, a lot of people like to talk about doing the double stack, where you put your quarterback, you put your top wide receiver, and you put your top tight end together.
Okay.
My value play double stack is going to be Jordan Love alongside Romeo Doubs, as I've already mentioned, and tight end Luke Musgrave versus the Chargers. Over their last four games, the Chargers are allowing an average of, not total, an average of 10 catches, 104 yards, and half a touchdown to the position.
Not bad play. I'm not going to say I dislike it.
That includes a down week from Sam Laporta last week in there.
Right.
Or this week.
And as that goes to show, the numbers don't always bear out for certain things. I'm only willing to go so far with that Green Bay offense, though. I went a little bit cheaper. Let's see if he's cheaper on both. He is a little bit cheaper on both sites. I went with the guy who's getting his quarterback back. He's got a really strong matchup, although he's been less than overwhelming this year.
He was my first pick.
He was? So what I'm saying? Yep. Tyler Higbee then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a great matchup. Week 6 through 9, the team he's facing in, I can't even say it now. Why can't I say it? Against the Seattle Seahawks, and it's at home. They rank 11th in points allowed to the tight end position. So yeah, I think he gets he can have a solid week and could be one of those guys that you're like, wow, did he really give us that much versus what his price was? I think he's easy 3x value this week.
Yeah, he was the first guy I looked at in particular in the value play range. So I went to Luke because, again, we've picked on the Chargers the last 2 weeks, and I've got to keep going up because it's a true believer factor here that the Chargers are bad against the tight end position this year.
Yeah.
But, yes, Higbee was my first thought at tight end.
Well, we were running late getting into this segment, and I'm happy to report that we didn't make up any time. We're about as late as we were coming into it, so that's okay. But I'm also happy to report that the under hit, Vegas loses. That's like twice in the last 3 weeks, I think. That's shocking.
Yes.
We should start.
We have two chances next week.
Yes, we do. Next week, well, at least two. We don't know what's happening with the Friday game, right? So there is going to be an extra helping of DFS next week. That's our segments next week. It's DFS. That's all it is. Early Christmas gifts. There's not going to be any other content except for DFS next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions, of course, you can reach out to Harley at Nuclear Harley. If you need advice on things other than DFS, you can, of course, check out all the tools available at the Huddle. If you don't have a membership, get one. They actually don't pay me to say that. I don't have to say that. It's just something I want to say because I believe in it. And then, of course, you can also follow me on the company formerly known as Twitter, at Steve Gallo NFL. And as always, get blitzed responsibly. Cheers.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.